Study Article 22. This article will be studied during the week of July 24th through 30th. Keep traveling on the way of holiness. Theme text: A highway will be there, the way of holiness. Isaiah 35:8. Song 31, O Walk with God. Preview: Jehovah called the figurative highway from Babylon to Israel the way of holiness. Has Jehovah similarly cleared a way for his people in modern times? Yes. Since 1919 CE, millions have left Babylon the Great and have begun traveling on the way of holiness. All of us must remain on it until we reach our final destination. Paragraphs 1 and 2, question: What important decision did Jews living in Babylon have to make? The word had gone out. The Jews who had been captives in Babylon for some 70 years were free to return to their homeland, Israel. Ezra 1:2-4 reads, This is what King Cyrus of Persia says, Jehovah, the God of the heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has commissioned me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of Jehovah, the God of Israel. He is the true God, whose house was in Jerusalem. Anyone who is residing as a foreigner, wherever he may be, let him be helped by his neighbors by their giving him silver and gold, goods and livestock, along with the voluntary offering for the house of the true God, which was in Jerusalem. Only Jehovah could have accomplished this. Why can we say that? Babylon would not normally release its captives, but Babylon had been overthrown, and the new ruler had told the Jews that they could leave the country. As a result, every Jew, especially family heads, faced a decision: to leave Babylon or to stay behind. That decision might not have been an easy one to make. Why not? Old age prevented many from risking the hardships of the trip. And since most of the Jews had been born in Babylon, it was the only home they had ever known. To them, Israel was the land of their ancestors. Some Jews had apparently become very successful in Babylon, so they may have found it hard to leave their comfortable homes or their businesses and settle in an unfamiliar land. Paragraph 3, question: What blessing awaited the remnant of faithful Jews who would return to Israel? In the minds of faithful Jews, the benefits of returning to Israel far outweighed any sacrifices they would make. The greatest blessing involved their worship. Although there were more than 50 pagan temples in Babylon, there was no temple of Jehovah in that city. There was no altar where the Israelites could offer up the sacrifices required by the Mosaic law. And there was no organized priesthood to offer those sacrifices. In addition, Jehovah's people were greatly outnumbered by pagan men and women who had no regard for Jehovah or his standards. So God-fearing Jews, thousands of them, were looking forward to returning to their homeland where they could restore pure worship. Paragraph 4, question: What help did Jehovah promise to give the Jews returning to Israel? The difficult literal journey from Babylon to Israel could take about 4 months, but Jehovah promised that any obstacles that seemed to prevent their return would be cleared away. Isaiah wrote, Clear up the way of Jehovah. Make a straight highway through the desert for our God. The rough ground must become level, and the rugged ground a valley plain. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 4. Just picture this scene: a highway through the desert, a level valley plain. What a blessing that would be for travelers! It would be a lot easier for them to travel on a straight highway than to trudge up and down or around mountains, hills, or valleys. It would be faster, too. Paragraph 5, question. What name was given to the figurative highway between Babylon and Israel? Today, many literal highways are identified by a name or a number. The figurative highway Isaiah wrote about also had a name. We read, "A highway will be there, yes, a way called the Way of Holiness. The unclean one will not travel on it." Isaiah 35:8. What did this promise mean for the Israelites back then? And what does it mean for us today? The Way of Holiness, then and now. Paragraph 6, question. Why was this road called holy? The Way of Holiness, what a beautiful name for a highway. Why was the road called holy? There would be no place in the restored nation of Israel for the unclean one, any Jew who was determined to practice immorality, idolatry, or other gross sins. The returning Jews were to become a holy people to their God. Deuteronomy 7:6. That did not mean, though, that those who left Babylon did not need to make changes in order to please Jehovah. Paragraph 7, question. What changes did some of the Jews need to make? Give an example. As noted earlier, most of the Jews were born in Babylon, and many had apparently become accustomed to some of the thinking and standards of the Babylonians. Decades after the first Jews returned to Israel, Ezra learned that some Jews had formed marriage alliances with pagan women. Still later, Governor Nehemiah was astonished to find out that children born in Israel had not even learned the language of the Jews. How could those young ones learn to love and worship Jehovah if they could not understand Hebrew, the main language in which God's word was written? So those Jews had significant changes to make, but it would be much easier for them to make those changes in Israel, where pure worship was gradually being restored. Paragraph 8, question. Why should events that happened so long ago be of interest to us today? That is all very interesting, some might think. But does what happened to the Jews so long ago have any meaning for us today? Indeed it does, because in a sense, we are traveling on the way of holiness. Whether we are of the anointed or of the other sheep, we need to remain on the way of holiness as it takes us through the spiritual paradise and leads us to future kingdom blessings. Since 1919 CE, millions of men, women, and children have left Babylon the Great, the world empire of false religion, and have begun traveling on that figurative road. You are likely among them. Although the road was opened some 100 years ago, preparatory work on that highway began centuries earlier. The cover picture caption reads, "Since 1919 CE, millions of men, women, and children have left Babylon the Great and have begun traveling on the Way of Holiness." Preparing the Road. Paragraph 9, question. In harmony with Isaiah 57:14, in what sense has preparatory work been done on the way of holiness? For the Jews leaving Babylon, Jehovah saw to it that obstacles were removed. Isaiah 57:14 reads, "It will be said, build up a road, prepare the way, remove any obstacle from the way of my people." What about the modern-day way of holiness? For many centuries leading up to 1919, Jehovah used God-fearing men to help clear the way out of Babylon the Great. They did necessary preparatory work, spiritual road work to make it possible later for right-hearted people to leave Babylon the Great and enter the spiritual paradise where pure worship of Jehovah had been restored. What did this road work involve? Consider some of the preparatory work that was done. Paragraphs 10 and 11. Question. How have printing and translating the Bible contributed to the spread of Bible knowledge? Printing. Up until the middle of the 15th century, the Bible was copied by hand. The work took a long time, and copies of the Bible were rare and very expensive. But when a printing press with movable type was invented, the Bible could more easily be produced and distributed. Translating. For centuries, the Bible was available mainly in Latin, which only well-educated people could understand. When printing became more common, however, God-fearing individuals intensified the work of translating the Bible into languages spoken by the common people. Now, Bible readers could compare what they were being taught by the clergy with what the Bible really teaches. The picture caption reads, "For many centuries, God-fearing men helped to clear the way out of Babylon the Great." Paragraphs 12 and 13. Give an example of how sincere students of the Bible in the 19th century began to expose false religious teachings. Bible study aids. Careful students of the Bible learned a great deal from what they read in God's Word. And much to the displeasure of many clergymen, they rarely kept their discoveries to themselves. In the 19th century, for example, a number of sincere men began to publish tracts that exposed the false religious teachings of the churches. About 1835, a God-fearing man named Henry Grew published a tract discussing the condition of the dead. In it, he proved from the scriptures that immortality is a gift from God, not a condition we are all born with, as most of the churches taught. In 1837, a minister named George Storrs found a copy of that tract while riding a train. He read it and was convinced that he had discovered a vital truth. He decided to share what he had learned. In 1842, he gave a series of lectures on the intriguing theme, "An Inquiry, Are the Wicked Immortal?" The writings of George Storrs had a positive influence on a young man named Charles Taze Russell. Paragraph 14, question. In what ways did Brother Russell and his associates benefit from the spiritual roadwork of the past? In what ways did Brother Russell and his associates benefit from the spiritual roadwork that had been done in the past? In their studies, they were able to consult lexicons, concordances, and various translations of the Bible, all of which had been prepared before their time. They also benefited from the Bible research of such men as Henry Grew, George Storrs, and others. Brother Russell and his associates contributed to the spiritual roadwork themselves by producing an abundance of books and tracts that considered Bible topics. The following is a description of the pictures being considered with paragraphs 10 through 14. Brother Russell and his associates used Bible study aids that had been prepared before their time. The picture caption reads, "God-fearing men helped to clear the way out of Babylon the Great." Paragraph 15, question. What important developments took place in 1919? In 1919, Babylon the Great lost its hold over God's people. That year, a faithful and discreet slave came on the scene, just in time to welcome honest-hearted ones to the newly opened Way of Holiness. Matthew 24, 45 through 47. Thanks in part to the faithful road workers of the past, those setting foot on that highway could increase their knowledge of Jehovah's purposes. They could also bring their life into harmony with Jehovah's requirements. Jehovah has not expected his people to make the necessary changes all at once. Rather, He has refined His people over time. How happy we will all be when we are able to please our God in everything we do. The following is supplementary information. Jehovah gradually refines His people. 1927 to 1928. Christmas is understood to be a pagan celebration. 1928 to 1936. The use of the cross is gradually discontinued. 1931. The name Jehovah's Witnesses is adopted. 1938. The election of elders is discontinued. 1944 to 1945. The sanctity of blood is clarified. 1952. The need for disfellowshipping is emphasized. 1956. The sanctity of marriage is clarified. 1972. Congregation oversight is assigned to a theocratically appointed body of elders. 1973. The use of tobacco is understood to be a serious wrongdoing. 1976. Instruction is given as to the types of employment that are acceptable for Christians. 2000. The use of blood fractions is discussed in detail. 2006 and 2012. The seriousness of viewing abhorrent forms of pornography is clearly emphasized. Returning to the article, the way of holiness is still open. Paragraph 16, question. Since 1919, what maintenance has been done on the way of holiness? Every road needs regular maintenance. Since 1919, roadwork on the way of holiness has continued with a view to making it possible for more people to leave Babylon the Great. The newly appointed faithful and discreet slave got to work, and in 1921, they published a Bible study aid designed to help beginners learn Bible truth. That publication, The Harp of God, eventually had a circulation of almost 6 million copies in 36 languages, and many learned the truth from it. More recently, we have a fine new publication for conducting Bible studies, Enjoy Life Forever. Throughout the last days, Jehovah has used His organization to provide a steady flow of spiritual food to help all of us to keep traveling on the way of holiness. Isaiah 48:17 reads, "This is what Jehovah says, your repurchaser, the Holy One of Israel. I, Jehovah, am your God, the one teaching you to benefit yourself, the one guiding you in the way you should walk." Chapter 60, verse 17 reads, "Instead of the copper, I will bring in gold, and instead of the iron, I will bring in silver, instead of the wood, copper, and instead of the stones, iron. And I will appoint peace as your overseers and righteousness as your task assigners." Paragraphs 17 and 18, question. Where does the way of holiness lead? We might say that whenever someone accepts a Bible study, he has an opportunity to step onto the way of holiness. Some travel only a short distance and then leave the highway. Others are determined to keep traveling on it until they reach their destination. What is that destination? For those with a heavenly hope, the way of holiness leads to the paradise of God in heaven. Revelation 2:7. For those with an earthly hope, that highway leads to perfection at the end of the 1,000 years. If you are traveling on that highway today, do not look back, and do not leave it until you have completed your journey to the new world. We warmly wish you safe travels. How would you answer? What did the way of holiness mean for the Jews in ancient times? When was the modern-day way of holiness open for travelers, and what work had been done to prepare that figurative highway? Who travel on the way of holiness today, and what is their final destination? Song 24, Come to Jehovah's Mountain. End of article.